Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, now covering Lost by popular demand. And yeah. Madison is back.
I'm back, baby.
She couldn't escape.
We couldn't do a show about people surviving a plane wreck on a lost island and or natural woods without Madison.
Without me. Yeah. I was getting PTSD from watching this first episode. I was like, flashback to Yellow Jackets. Yeah, they're very similar.
There's literally a part where they pull a guy out from under wreckage and his leg's all fucked up. I'm like, Coach Ben!
I was like, where's Misty?
Ah! We need Misty bad.
We do. Need Misty bad.
Someone on ABC TV's gonna run out with an axe and just hack a dude's leg off.
Madison was like, you guys swore you would let me out after Yellow Jacket season 2 was over and you just started new show.
I am locked into this chair.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Chained.
We feed her. Don't get weird.
Yeah.
She gets water. Come on.
Water and feed her.
Water. Yeah. I'm semi well taken care of.
We have a guy come in and muck the stables every now and then. I'm sorry. Too far. But if you don't know what's going on, because you're thinking, hey, Lost was 20 years ago. What are you guys doing? Well,
oh my God.
The patrons by popular. Well, let's be clear. I'm not sore about it. It actually did not win. It wasn't by the popular wrist demand. But like the Lost fans were very against.
if you could do ranked choice voting on the internet, it would have won.
Yeah.
Because it was always second place, pretty much.
Sure.
And it was everyone's least like
hated
option.
Hated,
yeah, there was no
word.
One that was like, fuck Lost, I'm out if you guys do that, right?
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We've talked about this before, but since this is episode 1, the pilot of Lost, we're going to commit to the bit of covering all of season 1 of Lost.
Yeah, we are.
You guys that are all about Lost, if you want us to cover seasons 2 through 6, you better fucking make sure this show does gangbusters, maybe.
Yeah.
Keep going. We've actually been steadily declining since House of the Dragon. Last of Us did pretty well, you know.
Oh yeah, Last of Us.
Yellow Jackets, not so much. I get it was on Showtime, and like a lot of people were like, "What is that?"
Yeah,
you know, Gen Z didn't know what Showtime was.
No,
which I get.
I'll tell him.
Yeah, spread the word, Madison. So you see, apparently, when Steve was young,
Madison,
they had multiple networks. You had to pay my
light the beacons, Madison.
I said, "Dead ass guys, Yellow Jackets." Mm-hmm.
Millennials get call for aid. Gen Z will answer.
I got it.
They
I'll
used
pick
to
up the
go
phone.
To a store where all the movies were on shelves.
I did that.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
I went into the Blockbuster.
You had your fucking TiVo. You just went there for fun.
No.
You went there the way that people buy vinyl now.
No, I had a Blockbuster card, bitch. Really? Don't be coming for me.
Damn.
When they did their 3-for-20 deal on DVDs in the front.
That's because they were going out of business already.
I was there. I was supporting them.
I went to Family Video for the 3-for-21. That's funny. That's how I got so many Blu-rays now.
Wow. You just never returned them?
No. I bought them. Okay. They were for purchase because they were going out of business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the plan. And if you're listening to this now, it's what, Thursday in the future?
Thursday.
Yeah. So tomorrow you can listen to Steve and Phil break down Strange New Worlds if you're into that show.
Where are my trackers at? Log in tomorrow.
All eight of you. Actually, it might be hugely popular. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. Time will tell.
This is the only thing I know.
It's mm-hmm. this. You got to stick your thumb out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, the thumb end, that's just V for Vendetta.
Good save.
Nice.
Good save.
But Lost. So also part of the shtick is Steve has seen all of Lost.
Yes.
He was a huge fan when it originally aired 20 years ago.
God, quit saying it, man.
20 years ago.
Quit saying it. I booted up Hulu and it was like original air date 2004 for this first episode. And my heart, you know that
back when you could stay up late without making your feet hurt.
Yeah, exactly. You know that gif of Tim Allen from the Santa Claus and the beard just kind of just regrows. I just did that in my living room. This mortal coil is getting older.
Oh my gosh.
Madison and I have never seen Lost, though she has had conversations about Lost with folks, right?
Yes. People have talked to me about the show, encouraging me to watch it. I get fatigue when I look at how long a series is on for, how many episodes, but I'm excited. I'm hyped after watching Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, this is on the list of shows that I was like apologetically saying I would never watch. And now look at me
go.
Look at what you'll do.
And I've miraculously avoided spoilers. So I know
that's incredible. Nothing. Honestly,
I have little insight to the show minus the ending. I think I have a little bit of the ending spoiled for me, but so far this first episode I dove in and I just was like, wait, what?
Yes.
So yeah.
This is kind of fun for me. Wow. My mic cut. That was weird. This is kind of fun for me because, when we started doing Yellow Jackets, the shoe was on the other foot.
Yeah. Oh, how the turntables have turned.
How the worm has turned. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you two had seen Yellow Jackets and mm-hmm. I had not. And now I have seen Lost and you have not.
This was your evil plan all along.
And that's also why we kind of decided to do Lost now, is because it kind of, there's a lot of similarities between Lost and Yellow Jackets.
Yes.
As I'm seeing, mm-hmm. there's already mm-hmm. a plane.
Yes.
But no Misty.
No,
it's sorely missing a Misty.
Yes.
There is.
Well,
is there a Walt?
There is a Walt.
There is a Walt in here. So
Not a Walter.
I feel like I'm going to be telling you guys a lot of people's names.
Somebody Elijah Wood adjacent.
Oh. Yeah.
Right. Dominic Monaghan.
By the way,
my experience watching this, I knew at some point in my life that all of these actors were in this show, but I had forgotten. And I was scared I wasn't going to like the show because I'm fucking in it now. Like, I got to watch all of season one, no matter what happens. So I'm watching it last night and I haven't seen network television on purpose in many years.
Yeah. How weird is it to go back to that?
So
format?
Weird.
Yeah.
Very odd.
So weird. Though production value pretty high. I was
impressed.
Yeah.
I was very impressed.
Oh, one of our new segments later on, we'll get into that.
Like the time, this had to have been the tits.
the bee's knees.
I have nothing to contribute.
I looked at you like,
is that okay?
Not even that.
As the only woman in the room, titties is fine. Tits are fine.
But like, I was thinking at the time, like, I don't know where I was or why I missed this. But I forgot, of course, J.J. Abrams, this is like why he's so famous, mm-hmm. right? Is Lost, pretty much.
Had no clue.
I never knew that Michael Giacchino did the score for this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Legendary composer. Michael Giacchino.
What else did he do?
Most recently, The Batman.
Ooh.
He also done a ton of shit. The Up soundtrack, if you love that one. That beautiful thing.
Who doesn't love that one?
Who doesn't love it?
Damon Lindelof, of course, also famous because of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of actors like Dominic Monaghan.
Evangeline Lilly, Matthew Fox, Terry O'Quinn.
I recognize Maggie Grace.
Ian Somerhalder.
Ian Somerhalder. Yeah, Dominic Monaghan. Yeah.
And as the show, if we do continue going down this path.
More cameos, more coolness.
There's a ton of great actors that get introduced, including friend of the show. Sean Whalen is in a couple
of seasons. Sean Whalen. Nice. Yes. We probably have him to talk about Lost.
So there's the cast gets enormous. And
is it like, without spoiling, just nod your head if you can't say anything. But
blink twice.
Yeah, blink twice. Is it like Yellow Jackets in the sense that like they're like, this guy's been here the whole time because he was on the wreckage and now we're introduced the way that they did with like Melissa and those folks?
I will say yes, but it's not dumb as you think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they said like at least 48 people survived is what he says to the pilot. And I was like, dang. Dang. That's what I said to myself. Dang. I was like, dang. All right, well, let's dive right in. What we're going to do, we're going to do a scene-by-scene recap of each episode. And then we've got a segment called Beach Please.
Beach
where
Please.
Where Steve, because he's seen the show, is going to just drop some trivia of each episode each time. Like cool little tidbits. Then we got what we call Mile High Club moments. Our top three favorite moments of each episode. Followed by Passenger Princess, that's the award that
passenger
we give.
Passenger Princess.
Yeah.
Madison, can you explain for those in the back who maybe aren't familiar with what a passenger princess is?
Just like I had to explain to you guys five minutes ago.
We didn't need that.
The millennials are sending up the beacon. Gen Z must answer.
So essentially, it's very similar to when you and your friend are going to drive somewhere and your friend says, oh, I call shotgun. Same principle. But it's you call them the passenger princess. And usually there's more context to the other person driving more often than the other person. So if you're the passenger princess, usually your best friend or your partner drives you around everywhere.
Mm-hmm. But, feet up on the dash.
Yeah, feet up on the dash.
Scrolling the social media.
Window down. You're in control of the aux. You have, you know, some snackies.
Eating all the beef jerky.
Yep, yep. You're just chilling in the passenger seat, living your princess life.
It's an exalted position, which mm-hmm. is why we're giving that spot to the best performance of each episode.
Exactly.
And we'll cap it all off with a segment we call Lost and Found. We're going to try to tally the mysteries as they unfold and then take them off the list when they get answered. And that might be fun. That might be fun.
So we're going to keep a running list of all the mysteries that they bring up.
Yeah.
And see if they actually get answered or not, because some people say that not all the mysteries do get answered in the show.
I'm going to put my considerable powers to Lost, finally. Never fear, folks. By the way, I
do want to say we came up with the names for these segments because, like we mentioned up top, Chris and Madison have not seen the show.
Have not seen them.
There might be better segment name ideas that you have. And you may be, you know, you may want to send them in
Your nominations.
They're probably amazing ideas. But I do suggest DMing me them because they could be considered spoilery for the two who have not seen
them. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So stay out of my DMs with your spoilery nonsense.
Be kind. If you do have that knee-jerk reaction to send us your amazing idea, I want to hear it. But DM me and
Steve May.
Yeah, yeah. And leave them out of it because I don't want this to be spoiled for them as much as possible.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Shoo boy. By the way, I already figured everything out. So one episode in.
Oh, yes. Good.
They landed in, I'll tell you.
Kansas?
I can't wait.
I got to figure it out.
Okay.
All right. So let's dive in. Recap.
Well, there's something we have to address up top first, though, right?
What do we do? What?
There was an article.
Oh, yes. So right before we started recording that, we've been planning this for months, but then an article came out. Was it Vanity Fair?
Yes.
About, I believe, I didn't read it, not because I don't care, just to be clear, but because I didn't want, somebody told me there was a lot of spoilers in there. But the general gist is that the actual production of Lost itself was rife with prejudice and racism. To a degree, many people apparently were not aware. And of course, I knew nothing of this. I'd never even seen the show. And so Steve read the article just so we could be educated on that as a group. And he could navigate the spoilery waters and kind of address that up top, just like we did with Harry Potter. You know, we don't want to be associated with any of the nonsense that goes along with some of these TV shows and properties that we love. So Steve, why don't you dive a little bit into that before we get further along.
Yeah, so this article was originally brought to my attention by moderator of the Discord, Enza. We love Enza. And the article is called Lost Illusions, The Untold Story of the Hit Show's Poisonous Culture by Maureen Ryan. And this is actually less a Vanity Fair article and more an excerpt from Maureen's book titled Burn It Down. Mm. And essentially, Chris, you kind of like put the nailed it on the head there where it's just she went around. Maureen went around and talked to a bunch of former writers of the show and kind of got their opinion. And a lot of writers who are minorities or women have had some pretty awful experiences working on the show throughout its six seasons. A lot of the criticism is pointed towards the top of the pyramid, which is Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cruise. Reading the article, it seems like, so Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse are the showrunners, right? And when Damon Lindelof, he created Lost, he really wanted, like, we're going to have this very inclusive writer's room with all these people. But when he got the show, in his words, he was very, very young. So he got he reached out to someone he had met when he worked on Nash Bridges, who was Carlton Cuse. And it seems like Carlton Cuse is kind of like an older TV kind of dude guard. With an old mindset. Mm-hmm. And maybe Damon Lindelof at the time was too young to realize what was going on. Because nowadays people look at Damon Lindelof before this article came out and they're like, wow, what a cool, inclusive dude. Like, he made the new Watchmen show. Yeah, that's like super great. Watchmen, The Leftovers.
Mrs. Wow. Davis.
So like it seems in the article, it seems like maybe this dude like just didn't know what he was doing. So he was relying on the older person directing him. But like that's not really an excuse, because essentially some of the shit that's detailed in the article is pretty awful. Like there's some like very explicit like racism towards black people, towards Asian people. There is a couple like women misogyny jokes and stuff like in like
it's just like just are we talking shit. Like office comments or in things like, they had to put up with, or yeah, are we so talking
a
like
mixture of
pay?
So office comments, well, people will just like offhandedly make a very racist joke and people will laugh, and then someone of the nationality that they joked about is in the room like, that's not fucking funny, and then that person's let go next season. That type of shit.
Okay,
like, oh, you don't fit in with the culture here because this is kind of a toxic culture. There's claims that there was I don't have the name in front of me, but one of the best regarded Lost episodes, which is in a later season, you won't see it this season, but it won like a ton of Emmys. That episode was written by a person of color. But because of the nature of the show, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse's name was also on the writing credit. But when that movie or when that episode came out, it got all the attention. They like kind of like absorbed all that credit and didn't give any to her. And that's how she felt about it. And then there's topics of racism towards the cast and the characters of color. Cause if you, even this opening episode, there's a lot of people of color who are in this cast, right? It's a very big ensemble cast.
I made note of the representation in the cast, I felt.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that people loved about the show initially. But as we continue down this Lost coverage, you will notice that the four or five most important characters are the white characters. And then the people of color are pushed to the sidelines or just completely written out of the episode because they are out of the show because they deign to speak up about it. And actually, while I was watching this, so I read the article and there were a lot of things in there I had no clue about, had never heard of. And I was like, wow, that's awful. But there was one story in particular that I remembered at the time, like, this being a huge controversy, and that was I'm looking for his name because he has a distinct last name, Harold Perrineau, mm-hmm. Who plays Michael. He kind of spoke out like, hey, I think you're kind of writing my character in a very like pigeonholed, prejudiced direction. I would love to do something else. And they're like, okay, so they changed the writing for that season and then let him go the next season because they didn't think he was a team player. And he went public and was like, they're pretty racist, and I tried to tell them about it, and they fired me for it. So I remember that being a big controversy at the time.
Is Michael, because I've only seen the one episode the one time, is Michael the guy with the son?
Yeah, Walt's son.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sorry, spoiler, Michael gets written out of the show, but in the future. Not in this season. Yeah, not in this season. But I remember that happening in real time. And there was a couple other things. Like, I know this show, specifically in season two, it was plagued with a lot of actors getting DUIs in Hawaii. And several actors are fired from the show because of they kept getting DUIs and stuff. And the article alleges that certain members were fired because they were either women or people of color, while other actors necessarily were given a pass because they were the Caucasian cast members, right?
Yeah.
So it is a real shame that this came out. You know, actually, it's kind of interesting that this came out right before we start covering it, because it was it's a huge article. It's really, really long. It took me like a half hour to read because I'm really dumb and bad at reading.
Mm-hmm. Mostly. Is. Historically.
Mostly. I don't read good. Mm-hmm. So when we watched, and I hate to like like have this taint the first viewing of the show for you guys, because it is a very good show. But it is very unfortunate that these things were happening behind the scenes of a beloved show. Because when Enza shared this in Discord, like everybody who's a huge fan of Lost was like, I had no idea that this was this awful. This is really sad. And I'm kind of bummed that this kind of taints my enjoyment of the show now.
And that's every day our experience with everything that we, you know what I mean? All these properties, unfortunately. But we did want to call attention to it. We wanted to educate ourselves on it, be aware of that as we watch it, and not downplay that fact. And I'm glad that it came out before we, you know, so we could be aware of it and maybe even see signs of it on the screen. But just wanted to make you all aware that we're aware. And obviously we try to be, now we have a lot of idiot, mostly me. Like I just, I hear what I say when you all do, right? Which is a gift and a curse. But also, you know, our intention is to be very inclusive on this show and socially conscious and kind and just share our love of nerd things and passion in general. So with that spirit, we wanted to call that at the top of the show. So definitely do check that out. Maybe we'll put a link in the show notes or something like that, but seek that article out.
Yeah, I can put that in the show notes. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. And so you can peruse it yourselves and let's move on to our recap of Lost Episode 1 Pilot, which is what they call the first episode of every show. But in this instance, it might have a dual meaning.
Yeah.
I said that before with the other plane show.
Pilot part one.
Yes, pilot part one.
Oh, is it a part one pilot?
Yep.
Dang, we should have done them both then.
I was nervous that we were going to do both. So I ended up watching part two.
Oh, my God, girl. I'm trying to be true to this. I don't know what's going on, except I do. I figured it all out. I'll show you guys in 10 minutes.
All right, you figured it out.
I considered doing both at the same time, but I looked at the original air date and part two did air a week later originally. Which, can you fucking imagine watch this episode, you get to the end and you're like, what the hell? I gotta wake seven more days for this shit?
Yeah. That's literally what I'm doing right now, though.
I know. And how are you holding up, buddy? How you feeling?
Well, since I have to also watch Mission Impossible 1 and Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I was like, oh, thank God. I'm done with one. But,
well, I'll take it out of my brain. It's no longer there.
She did. Like, she just, like...
I did.
What's that called in Harry Potter where they do the thing?
Pensieve.
Yeah, she put it in the pensieve.
Yeah.
Boop.
It's gone.
It's like a lock and key, baby.
Basically. I do have to say, after watching Yellow Jackets and consuming modern... this is interesting going back to the show, because it's 20 years old. The way we digested TV back then was very, very different. This show is actually a pivotal reason for why TV is different now.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting after watching Yellow Jackets for these last couple weeks, turning on an episode and seeing that runtime at 40 minutes. Oh, baby. Yeah. I was
high on life. Did you watch it on Freevee?
No, Hulu.
I watched it on Hulu.
It's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu. Yeah.
I had to watch those fucking commercials for no reason.
So did I. I had commercials on my Hulu.
I don't have commercials on my Hulu.
Yeah, that's right. $12.99,
baby. I'm a bougie bitch.
Must be nice.
Well, I actually own all six seasons on Blu-ray, even though I've never seen them because I bought Steve's collection. Yeah. But I was too lazy. Like,
you couldn't get your ass
it's
up.
It's like 6 feet away.
6 feet away.
No.
Pull out. Oh, you just have to do this one time. You pull out the box set for season one.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't do it. I will next week. But here's what was kind of nice. I got the experience of watching it 20 years ago because of the commercials.
That's true, yeah.
Because they put them on to the breaks that were there before.
It was a little nostalgic. I was like, oh, I cannot have to focus on my screen for like so intensely.
Take a little break,
start tippity
typing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Because I got 48 seconds.
It is kind of weird watching it without commercials because it's like very dramatic thing. Cut to black.
Yep.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got everything. Dude, this starts kind of batshit crazy.
Oh, I love the intro to
it. It was like the guy snaps awake in the forest. He's in a suit. It's focuses on an eyeball. A fucking dog walks over. I think his name's Kevin or Vincent or something.
Vincent.
Kevin.
The man's name is Jack. The dog's name is Vincent.
Right.
They're introducing the characters in this episode, like their names. So I just have descriptions of the person.
Oh, me too, in a fun way. I think we should leave it that way.
Okay.
And then because we get their names organically later.
I can't wait to see your descriptions, and then I can pop in and be like, that's Vincent the Labrador.
Okay.
He's hurt, right? He's confused. He's hurt. And I put, is that bamboo? And I think it is.
It is.
He has like a plain liquor bottle. And I'm just going to go through, interrupt me when you want. to, but I got like wild notes. I'm just going to go through, no, right?
Go for it.
He starts running and I put, there's a shoe. A I don't know why.
Well, in they all just, caps. It's just like shoe.
It zooms on the shoe. Yeah. And he runs out onto the beach and I put, it's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice.
And then
it's
he hears nice. A woman screaming, less oh. nice. And there's like plane crash debris and people everywhere all of a sudden.
We're just doing the sound effects to whatever, whatever
Chris is doing. He's like, and I wrote Mary because I love Lord of the Rings and I forgot Dominic Monaghan was in this. And there's a whole fucking plane engine that's still running.
How, and do, we see, how do you think that engine's still running? Honest question.
I mean,
what's it connected to?
I guess the wires are still connected well, to wherever. Well, I
was
wherever.
Just like, was it going so fast that it's just like, what is that called? When what, it just keeps going?
What was going, force?
But then sure. kinetic energy.
The sound, yeah. the sound effects made it seem like it was like slowing down, then it would whir back up, and then it would slow down and whir back up.
I don't know how planes work.
We did
maybe they
I mean, it's going fast enough to chop a man.
Maybe they hang out in hangars.
I don't know what it's called. I just know the sound it makes when planes? It takes a man's life. For planes, you think? That's a Yellow Jackets reference. But yes. there's a trapped man under the debris. And our main character so far, all we have, suit guy, a.k.a. Jack. He ties a tourniquet with his tie. So I put tie tourniquet. So he's obviously a handyman. That's all we know at this point, right? Then yeah. we see a woman going into labor because of course she is.
Wow.
She's having contractions.
What an awful
What experience. Would make this moment more stressful? Pregnant woman. And then there's a dude giving a woman CPR in the corner.
CPR?
CPR. That's what they call it on this island.
That's what Ian Somerhalder calls it.
Yeah. And then at this point,
yeah. He probably was like, hold back, everyone. Give me space. I'm going to give her CPR.
And then a fucking dude gets sucked into the plane engine. In the middle of all of this, there's an explosion because of course there is. And then Jack gets this big guy. He asked him to help him with the pregnant woman.
Hurley.
We don't Hurley. Get his name in this episode, that's, do we?
We do.
Do we?
What?
I didn't catch it.
Oh, maybe we don't. I just know who they are. So yeah, I just wrote,
you can't Hurley's do that. Here. That's what I'm saying. If we don't know his name yet, he doesn't have a fucking name.
Okay.
He's like one of the most popular characters, right?
Yeah.
Long-haired guy.
Yeah, Hurley's great.
Long-haired guy.
So he asked him to like time the contractions, right? Does he give him a watch? Or does Hurley have a watch?
I think he tells him to count and he's like, dude, which right? is the right response.
Oh, for
right?
sure. Yeah. That's a super bummer.
You just got off of a plane wreck and the first thing that happens is here's a pregnant lady having a baby.
Yeah, I mean,
time her contraction.
But imagine her POV, right? Like, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I'm having a baby and I just survived a plane wreck and you give me to this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
And the first name we get is Jack because that's, I think Hurley asks, hey, what's your name,
what's your name?
He says, I'm Jack.
So then he goes over to the CPR guy, and the dude is the shittiest lifeguard of all time. He's like, you're doing that wrong. And the lifeguard, well, I'm actually lifeguard certified. And he's like, well, maybe give that certification back.
I have written Ian Somerhalder as an idiot.
And then he's like,
yeah, you know what? He's a himbo, and I'm here for
it. He is.
Yeah.
That dude has the most piercing blue eyes that have ever existed in a person's skull.
Are you falling in love?
Dude, I love Ian Somerhalder. Are you kidding me?
You love
was he
love.
In, was he in like a vampire show and he was like a hot, sexy vampire?
Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Suck me, baby.
Okay. Not me.
I will be your thrall, Ian Somerhalder.
That's my Mile High Club favorite moment right there.
Suck me, baby.
Suck me, baby.
But yeah, he's a shitty lifeguard. And then he's like, well, why don't we do the pen thing where you like stab it in her throat? And he's like, yes, go get me a pen. That's what Jack says.
Does ballpoint work or like gel?
Right. Like what kind, man?
Is this a situation where you can only use red ink or black ink?
Get them all. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah, get them all.
So then it's just a pretty smart way to like you give a confused person who's trying to be helpful but they're fucking up, just give them a task that they can focus on. It's pretty smart.
Prime honestly. Leadership right there.
Yeah. In that moment where he just yes, go find me a pen, because he just wants him out of his face. And then he saves the CPR woman. She brings her back, right? Because he's been blowing air to her stomach for an hour. And so he's like, oh God, can I even fix this? And then the wing starts snapping off and falling on the pregnant woman and Hurley. Of course it is. And then there's another explosion.
That well, in the defense, Chris, that wing was made out of pure gasoline.
It was. It apparently
maybe
was.
Maybe even pure guzzling. I don't know.
I didn't mind the engine explosion, but the wing one, I was like, what's going on right now? This is the most JJ. Did JJ Abrams like get a call from Michael Bay literally, in the middle of this? And
that's
say,
what I was thinking.
I have an idea. And JJ was like, hey, man, you're the expert.
Sure, man. Bayhem. That's what we need here.
You need at least 10 explosions. This whole sequence.
And if the plane could like transform into a robot and give everyone a thumbs up before walking into the ocean, that would be better.
No, that would be a bad robot.
Bad robot. Did you mean to make that joke?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. That was good. That was good.
And then it almost hits Mary and upset me. And then Jack looks at Hurley and he's like, stay with her. And Hurley's like laying in the sand. And he's like, okay,
I'm not going anywhere, man.
And then we get the opening credits. There's like, it's just Jack, I think, walking through the debris is the opening credits. And he's going off to be on his own. He gets to like a bunch of garbage and shit. And the dude with the pen shows back up and he's like, hey, man, I got the pens, which is great.
I love this shot because it's from the perspective of inside the plane looking at Jack. And he's like kind of like distraught. Oh, my God, I was in there. That was my seat over there. And then Boone shows up, hands in the pen. And he says, and Jack's like, great, thanks, man. And Boone's like, yeah.
He's so satisfied.
But it still like pushes in on him. And he's just behind Jack just kind of like, what do I do?
Yeah, what now? Where's the lady, actually?
Look at my feet. Is this a beach?
Would have loved to see like side conversation of Ian Somerhalder's character. Do you have a pen?
Yeah, like going to everybody.
Do you have a pen that I can use?
All these plane wrecks and fighters like, no, fucking get away
get
from
away
me.
From me.
But there were like six of them that he had a pen.
He had a lot of them.
I was surprised he found any, much less that many.
Can you even take a pen on an airplane anymore?
Yeah.
Like
I'm
in
sure
your
you
pocket?
Can. I'm sure you can.
Okay.
You can take a vape pen. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Can't hit it, but people do. Not me.
Yeah, you're never. Good. You're a good boy.
See, I bring nicotine lozenges because I follow the fucking rules.
Can confirm. I was on a plane with him.
But Jack starts going into a suit. Is that his suitcase?
I always wondered that too.
No, it's not.
And he just happened to find thread, which is what he was looking for.
Which I was like, okay, he's glamour because he has like a little leopard print, like
I
with
know.
His toiletries. I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe that's not his suitcase.
Right. I knew it wasn't, but I, yeah.
How rude.
I secretly wanted it.
And
to
who
be.
Traveled with needle and thread? And why?
Probably a grandmother that got sucked out into the horrible frigid air of 10,000 feet above the ocean.
How lucky for him to the first suitcase he opens.
By the way,
needle and thread.
How did they fucking survive this kind of crash? Like there are tens of thousands of feet in the air when they lose the tail of the plane and then the cockpit
emphasis
breaks off.
On the cock.
Yeah, like when you're watching Peacock.
Right.
The cockpit breaks off. It's just like this tube that's open on both ends, hurtling through the air. Enough so that like Jack was completely ejected. He's laying like 20 feet away in some bushes.
Oh, yeah. He's
but they
so
survive.
Far away.
Like, how does this? I don't know. I'm just not buying it, man.
You're not buying what?
That anyone survives this crash.
Fuel doesn't melt at that temperature, man.
That's true.
The steel beams don't melt at that temperature.
And those engines will run forever. But yeah, so he goes through some other person's shit, which is, again, third time, rude, and steals some needle and thread.
Hey, when you survive a plane wreck like at that high altitude and then like where you should have died, you get a free pass on going through.
But I like to imagine that's like someone who's alive's stuff and they're like watching him like, yeah, of all the things.
The dude with like the broken leg that got pulled out of the wreck.
Like,
it's
hey,
like, hey, my thread. I was going to knit my kids a stocking.
Don't eat my Slim Jims. But plot twist.
Oh, good. He didn't take the Slim Jims.
Plot twist.
Goodness.
Jack was wounded the whole time helping everyone else. So I like this is very clever characterization that he's got this severe wound, but he was more concerned about everyone else first.
Yeah.
He sneaks off to go address it. But then when he takes his shirt off, he can't reach the cut, right?
How's it go again?
Luckily, there's a very curious woman walking by in the woods and he's like, hey
girl,
do you know how to, I love this interaction.
So good.
It's so funny. Do you know how to sew? I made drapes once. How is it making drapes where you start your sewing journey for anyone? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
That is mystery numero uno.
I mean,
I'm writing that down.
Let's put a pin in that and see if they revisit.
Right there.
Why did Kate make Drake's her first sewing problem?
Like, oh, I dabble. I've constructed the drapes in my home. What? Though I do suppose it's just a giant rectangle that you hem. Maybe it is a decent place to start. But maybe. He's like, hey, well, then will you sew my back then? And she's like, I mean, I used a sewing machine. And he's like, you'll do fine. What a handsome young doctor Jack is. We find out he's a doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He chooses a classic black thread, right?
Standard.
What if he had gone with like pink or purple or something fun?
He's a fun doctor.
All I would be able to think about from here on out is Jack's running around. He's got some fun thread down his,
yeah,
his abdomen there.
Yeah, he does.
And this is where, is this the scene where he tells the story of the count and all that stuff? Or is that a little bit later?
That's for some cuts?
A little bit later.
I thought so. I was like, damn, surely I didn't tell bad news.
No, but can we talk?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, can we talk about the reveal of Evangeline Lilly? She is so pretty, so gorgeous. Oh my goodness. My only experience with her is Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is probably you hearing me say that is probably like awful, but I had no clue. She was in Lost.
She's not like in the biggest of movies, so it's understandable why.
Right, but I just was like, oh my goodness, love her. She's great. They were having their, you know, flirtatious, whatever, sewing conversation. And I have written in my notes, they're going to fuck. They're 100% going to fuck.
100%.
That's all I had to say.
100%.
100%.
That's one thing I used to say a lot, because you released our old Patreon episode, well, from like a year ago. And I was disgusted with like the tics that I used to have. Because like,
which one?
I was listening to, I think it was A Knight's Tale. And I just, every time you guys would say a good point, I would go 100%. 100%. And I'm just like, stop with the percentiles, my guy. Past Chris. Terrible.
Ugh.
Ugh. You don't even know percentages. You're terrible at math. What does that even mean?
0%. 0%.
So yeah, if you said like a decent point, I should be like 78%.
So is Evangeline Lilly in this show, is she going to be your version of Chris's Christina Ricci?
I think so.
Already? You already know.
I think so.
Mm.
Mine's
pretty
Boone.
Great.
Fair point. Boone's my Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
Oh, suck me, daddy.
But I don't know. This cast is pretty hefty, so we'll
see. They got some handsome ones.
So far, my loyalties lie with Kate.
With Kate.
Lady Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the part where he hands her the little vodka that he had.
Oh, yeah, wash off.
That's later, right? Hands. No,
it's gotta be more sewing later.
It's here.
Well, that's when they have the conversation about the fear and stuff.
No, it cuts after the color. Oh, he just
dumps the liquor there. Yeah. Okay.
Because he hands it to her for her hands, and then he's like,
save
me some for the pain.
Right.
Like, because she gives him a look like,
oh, it's for the cut.
Damn, sir, do you party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the cut.
Yeah. And this is actually this scene with them. I think the whole scene, this one, and then when it cuts back to them, that's actually what they used for actors who are auditioning for the roles.
Oh.
So this scene is how they
picked, these were the sides?
Yeah. This is how they picked which actors would play Jack and Kate, is they had them do this scene.
See what kind of chemistry they had.
Yeah.
And apparently it was a lot.
A lot. Because
Madison picked up on that.
Oh, one.
Like, uh-oh.
100%.
She's like, I smell sex.
We then kind of see some other survivors. They don't really have any lines, but we see some survivors doing some stuff. We see the Marlboro Man.
Hold up. I'm reading this now for the first time. Mr. Cool Man has a ciggy.
Yeah. I said cigarette guy. He's cool and tough.
This is a character you know, right, Steve?
Yeah.
So I want to give you the pleasure of these like first impressions. He's got that, how am I going to clean all this shit up face? Because he's just like surveying while smoking like,
it's going to be a long day.
I'm not going to be able to clock out for hours. Why does he look like that instead of panicking? Because he's cool.
We'll find out. Maybe these are some really good, important things that you should pick up on these characters just in these one little shots of them.
Yeah.
Because we see, what did you call him?
Mr. Cool Man.
Lighting up a ciggy.
Has a ciggy.
Cigarette guy.
We see the pregnant woman on a beach.
I say, dang, she's super pregnant. That's my note.
8 months pregnant.
Lots of pregnant.
But she's carrying well. You ever been told that?
Yeah.
You ever hear that criticism?
You're carrying well.
Yeah. My wife would get that in the grocery store a lot. Oh my God, you carry so well. I don't know what that means. I just know women say that, so I want to be cool.
She means she's a what's the football person who catches the ball and carries it
receiver?
Over the
receiver?
Yeah, she's a That sounds weird to say.
Yeah, I don't like that. Call a pregnant woman a receiver, Steve. Come on, man.
We can graduate from this conversation.
It's a passenger princess.
In my defense, I didn't know they were called receivers.
Okay. That's when Steve does not know football. What'd you think it was? A tight end?
I wanted to say linebacker, but I knew that was wrong.
A defensive tackle?
You were so offensive many ways without meaning to. I was going to call her a linebacker.
Oh, I was trying to make a metaphor of like she's carrying a football to the goal.
Yeah.
It got away from me.
That's okay.
I'm leaving all this in.
The intentions were very sweet.
I'm leaving all this in.
Penn guy, which we find out is Boone, right? Trying a cell phone. And then I put, it's the guy from Sense8. Did any of you watch Sense8?
No.
So Saeed is a prominent character in Sense8, which is a show from the Wachowskis that I adore. It got canceled. Mm. It's very queer. You would love it, Madison.
Amazing.
It's one of my favorite shows ever. I love it so much. But yeah, he was in that. I was like, ah! It's like the Leo DiCaprio pointing meme. CPR lady is what I called her. She's kissing a ring, it looked like, on a necklace. Mm-hmm. Which confused me because later on the plane, she says that her husband's in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why she would have a ring on a necklace already, because I thought her husband had been dead for many years. But it looks like he died in the crash. But we'll go there later. I don't even want to look at Steve to get an indication about how wrong I am. And we're back to the sewing couple. And then I put terrible spinal surgery story.
it's pretty bad.
This is not a story you tell somebody who's trying to like muscle through doing minor surgery for the first time. I remember my first time. He's like smoking.
This ciggy guy had walked by and given him a ciggy.
He's like, hey, you're going to need this.
Your brother.
I sliced her back sack and all of the Skittles fell
not
out.
Not the back sack.
I don't remember what he said.
I meant to go back and re-listen to his story, because when he says like I sliced her back sack and the spaghetti noodles came out, like
I'm watching at home like
we have a lot of doctors who listen to this podcast. Can y'all write in and let us know, like, is the thing he's talking about a real fucking thing?
Is that real jargon?
The back sack line in particular was like, that can't be what they call it, right?
So I'm not gonna lie.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was not a fan of this scene, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be, or if it's like a, but it's like Shepard's performance. None of this was working for me because he was giving me like grizzled cop on the last day on the force vibes when he's like this young, handsome doctor.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, he's just like, yeah, sometimes you just gotta have a soldier on.
Let the fear in.
Like, I understand he was trying to get to the point of like the 5 second rule.
Yeah.
Of like,
you know, when you drop something on the ground, you have 5 seconds right, to pick it up and eat it again.
It's okay to eat it. Yeah.
He was inheriting that in his own way. And the fact that, you know, you can only have 5 seconds to be fearful before, you know, you have to do it, do what you need to do. But I'm like, It took you a while to get there, my guy.
Yeah, the spirit of the scene works, but
the monologue is too long.
The way that he did it was too dark. It was tonally off from where he was going with it. Exactly.
You never have the word sack in a poignant monologue, right? That's a rule I think all writers should adopt.
And don't talk about spaghetti. You're stuck on an island. Everybody's hungry. Come on, man.
If you were to compare a woman who's pregnant to a linebacker or a receiver.
Nobody would do that.
Nobody would do that. That's stupid to do.
Did he
and
say
in poor taste.
Her nerves came out?
Yeah.
I just was like, I
thought he paralyzed a girl.
That's what I thought he was going.
He has this really long, it was hell. Her guts were out. She was dying.
Leaking spinal fluid everywhere.
I was
so
scared, but I let myself not be scared. And this was fine. This was okay.
Then I fixed her up.
And then we went and got ice cream afterwards. It was great.
I thought he was going to be like, so I said, ew, and ran. That's why I was on the plane, because I'm clearly so young that I'm still in residency. I hope she's okay. I doubt it, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't do that. Keep sewing. Right about where you're sewing is where the sack is.
Why are you passed out?
Okay. She just blows chunks and falls over.
Yeah.
You failed the test. But anyhoozle, we cut to Saeed talking to Mary. Mary a Doc Brandy Buck. That's what I'm talking about. And then Pen Guy, Boone, brings a chocolate bar to Shannon. Who I did get a name for.
Mary. Uh-huh. I can't call him his real name because we haven't gotten there yet. But Mary does a thing that reminded me of you, Chris.
What do you do?
Madison, do you recall? He has tape around his fingers and he has a Sharpie and he's writing fate on his hands. Because I remember you used to cover your hands, your fingernails with Sharpie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, when he said that,
when
I saw him doing that, I don't know why. I'm like, oh, Chris used to be rebellious.
Yeah, maybe.
We all, everybody.
I was a cornball as well. And then, so Pen Guy dates Shannon, right? And Shannon sucks. She doesn't want the empty calories of a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Even in this situation, she's convinced that they're going to be rescued soon enough to where she doesn't have to do that.
I'll eat when the rescue plane gets here, because to be honest, the grub here sucks. The rescue plane will clearly have a better hors d'oeuvre menu.
Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Or at least some kale. Was kale hot yet? I think this is pre-kale, the show.
Kale's so hot right now.
Hurley brings food to the pregnant woman,
mm-hmm.
and he gives her a second meal, which is instantly like, I love this man, because she's eating for two.
Yeah.
And even she's like, aw.
Doesn't he also give her a third, too? He gives her two initially, I think, and then he walks off screen, and I think when he comes back, he's giving her a third.
Is it a third?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was just two.
Yeah, because he gives her one, and then there's a beat. He gives her a second one. They finish their conversation. He leaves. And then his arm comes back and hands another. I think he gives her three meals.
I didn't catch three. But no matter what, it's very endearing.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
And that's what it's meant to do.
Hurley's great.
Then we see the man and his son. And we see a Korean couple he's given the Korean couple, the guy's given his wife a speech about how it's just me and you against the world.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody else.
They need to stay together. She does not look happy.
She's like, I don't like any of that. We need to pool our resources. I'm a very sociable person.
I feel like that guy over there, I feel like the doctor man would be good to know. I feel like we should know the dude passing out food. He seems like someone we should get to know.
That guy just gave three plates to that lady. I'd like to be his friend.
The dude from Sense8 is building a bonfire. We should go be friends with him.
The husband's like, but I think Pen Guy.
Yeah. And I just, honey, I know you're not into this, but I think that guy's from Driveshaft.
Yeah. Yeah. And that guy's very handsome. And his girlfriend sucks. I think we could probably do something there.
Is that a vampire?
He's in a vampire show I love. And then, after that, we see Jack looking over an impaled man.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a good way, right? The impaled guy. And it was sewing lady. That's what I called her. It was sewing lady's seat buddy. Aw. It's worse when your seat buddy gets impaled.
Wait,
sewing lady?
Kate.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
I was picturing somebody else.
It was Kate's seat buddy.
You're right.
There's only one sewing lady, guys.
I don't know why I pictured.
Well, because we established her name was Kate, so it was weird to go back to a weird nickname you hadn't said yet.
Then we get to the only other thing in this episode that took me like in a way. I was
it
like,
the leaf plane?
What the fuck? Why did Jack spend the time to fabricate a plane out of a leaf?
I have written a leaf plane ? Where the fuck did he get that?
He made that shit. Hold on. Before I kind of recap what happens, Kate.
Before I was a surgeon, I would do this all the time.
While I was looking at the impaled man, I had a vision for a plane leaf. This a leaf guy, plane, if you will.
I'm sure they called him Jack because he's the jack of all trades. Because this guy also took a few flying lessons.
But of course he did.
He got bored by that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a common thing to get bored by plane travel and flight.
And that's how he knows that there's going to be a transceiver in the cockpit. But she's on board with this idea. She's like, hey, I saw smoke through the valley. That's probably where the cockpit is. And he's like, oh, probably. We got to find the cockpit.
Probably.
And this is where we find out her name is Kate. Mm-hmm. And then, Steve, this is where I figured out the entire show.
Oh, okay. All right. Here
because we hear in the background what are indubitably dinosaurs. And so the plane crashed into Jurassic Park. And of course, as we know, life finds a way. Mm-hmm. And the only mystery left for me is why.
Is how do female dinosaurs mate together?
Is why.
In the wild.
Is why.
How do you know they're all male? Do you go into the park and lift up the dinosaur skirts?
I don't know how Vincent the dog got buried in Pet Cemetery yet. Because he's very creepy, that dog. There's a horror sequence later where they pan out and it's just the fucking dog watching him. And I went, but yeah, those are definitely dinosaurs, right? I mean, we can all agree on that.
They have neither confirm nor deny said dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs are the only things that have a gargantuan quality about them.
I said Godzilla ?
That's a fair guess as well.
King Kong? Mm-hmm. Hello?
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 Hello, King Kong? Is that you?
My favorite part of the scene is like you hear all the crazy noises. There's trees like being like destroyed.
Like
you know?
a wing-a-whip.
And then it cuts to Walt and Walt's like, is that Vincent?
Oh, the kid, yeah.
It makes me laugh every time. Like, does Vincent do this often?
His dad's like... No, it's not Vincent. Away. Go back to sleep. Are you warm enough?
But then they do the big, like, this is the cast shot where they kind of do that tracking shot and all the main players step up and look confused into the woods.
Yeah, you got to, man, because it's dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Penn guy's name is Boone. Yeah, that's right. We've been saying that, but we find that out. So the names we've been given are Kate, Jack. Vincent.
Vincent.
Boone, Shannon. And I think that's it.
So I think Saeed and Charlie, because then
Saeed.
When they're at the bonfire, they introduce themselves to each other. Charlie's Dominic Monaghan.
Yeah.
Monaghan.
Okay.
That's Charlie.
And you can tell J.J. Abrams' direction here. Like in this scene, like when you're talking about when everybody's like looking into the woods, like it's got some pretty impressive like movie, like
there's some impressive
Jib
moves.
And Crane shots and stuff here. I was like, oh, nice. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty complicated moves where the camera's kind of going in and out between the cast members and they're like looking back and forth very suddenly, depending on what the noises are.
Yeah, it was good.
But when everyone's kind of done and the music, you know, it focuses on Charlie and Chris, what does Charlie say?
I don't know.
Terrific.
Oh, he does.
But you know who else is terrific?
Me?
Well, yes, that is true. But specifically, Chris, I am talking about our super patron producers who have helped us keep the lights on in this show. Mm. And these are the super patrons.
Kristen Stewart.
No.
Oh.
Some of these are case two patron saints of Streaming Things, though, which is a tier you can get at patreon.com/streamingthings. If you would like to support the show, just like these people have, plus many others, to get bonus content like bonus episodes, as well as getting a shout out on the show.
Come on.
You can do that. Just go to that website and sign up at the tier. These people are at the tier 25 and up. Can you imagine that? $25 and up. These guys are great. And I'm going to shout them out. You ready?
I'm ready.
We got Chester Copperpot.
Woo!
Oh, I thought you were going to react. Sorry.
Chester Copperpot.
Hold on. Take two. We got Chester Copperpot.
Woo!
We got Stanton Valentino.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Svento 7.
Dead ass.
Nice. Jaren Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny.
No cap.
A.K. Ashley Ray.
Let's go.
Alan Tomlinson. Wendy O'Loughlin. Jason Hawkins. Trey Barrera. Conrad. David Malfara. Kaylee Sampson. Rabbit Dog in a Barbie car.
Whoop whoop.
Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez. Alexis Adler. Thomas Alexander. Emmy. Joe Velez. Valerie. Aaron Layton. John. John Collins, Amanda King, sun-loving mortal Andrew Gray, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, cool. Casey McCain, yes. And the aforementioned Enza.
Enza!
So thank you all. Thanks to all those people and the many other people who subscribe to us on patreon.com/streamingthings. It means the world to us.
It does. Keeps the lights on.
Yep.
Pays for shit like Lost.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get a flashback after all of this, right? When Jax, he's flirting with the flight attendant for some extra booze, which Chekhov's liquor is what I'm calling Chekhov's. That. Because it's like, hey, that's how he got that little bottle. That's neat because he only drank one, put the other. Oh, man.
He was kind of doing it in kind of a bitchy way there, right? She's like, how's your drink? He's like, it's not a strong one.
Well,
and she's like, oh, well. There's some more alcohol for you.
No, I didn't read that into the interaction. He's so handsome, he can kind of be a dick. You know what I mean?
I mean, he is a good-looking man.
It's like,
he was definitely taking advantage of his attractiveness.
Sure, he knows how to get what he wants. And he could have had me if he wanted me.
Do you think if Terry O'Quinn tried this on the plane, he'd get away with it?
Is that the guy with the orange in his mouth?
Yes.
Ooh.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Ooh. And then Mary, a.k.a. Charlie, he pushes by to go into the potty.
When you gotta go, you gotta
knocks
go.
Jack back, and him and the flight attendant are just like, or the other lady there that's next to him, the other passenger, which is the CPR lady. And then he gets chased by flight attendants.
Sir?
That's when the turbulence kicks up. And then I put her husband was alive because we get that interaction between the CPR lady and Jack.
And Jack. Like she's traveling with her husband. Yeah.
He's in the potty.
In the back at the potty.
And we learned the tail had fallen off. So my theory is that that's when her husband died because he was in the potty back there. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that where we're all on that page?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think
that tracks. The tail of the plane is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then multiple people did not have seatbelts, even though they were warned the light was on, because when the major turbulence kicks up, like four people hit the fucking ceiling.
I was like, oh, you fucked up.
I put tisk tisk because I have my seatbelt on 100% of the time, 100%, always. Unless I got to pee.
Right.
And you never, and I quote, never poop on a plane. This is why.
Unless you're on a very long flight and nature calls. Would you hold it from like on a 12-hour flight?
Okay, if I don't I've never been on an international flight. I'm sure I might have to poop, but I don't think my body
was on an international flight, and they're strategic about it because they gave us so much cheese, so much dairy. They said no one's shitting on this flight
or tomorrow.
We are stopping you up.
Like I forget what the main course was, but they gave me like four blocks of cheese. I'm not kidding you. It was like the prepackaged, get for lunch. But it was like cheddar. It was like provolone.
I'm so hungry right now.
Gosh, it was.
What other kind of cheese?
Was it
pepper jack?
Pepper jack.
Was it melted?
Gouda.
Well, okay. What I did was
cheese in.
No,
I don't know. I can't remember the other ones. But what I did was the main course was really warm because it was like warm aluminum foil. I put the cheese on top of it and melted it. Oh, it was so good.
Dang. Pro tip for Madison.
Did I shit on the plane? No. Their plan.
Did you shit the rest of the week?
I was in London for a week and didn't shit once.
In London.
London.
You sound like you're from London.
Did you shit in the WC?
In the water closet.
Bollocks.
I shit in the Buckingham Palace.
Really?
No.
Oh. That would have been a baller move, cool. Though.
I would have done right. That if I could.
In the crowd.
But and then they cut back to the present. After the no seatbelt people hit the ceiling and they're discussing the dinosaurs, which might be monkeys, as they're saying. Kate is ready to go.
It could be Vincent. Guys, we haven't eliminated the possibility. Shut up, Walt. It could be Vincent.
Kate's ready to go look for the cockpit. And he's like, yeah, no, you don't come with me. I'm better alone.
Sorry.
I'm better alone. And then he's like, we're going to need better shoes, right? And then Kate goes to loot a dead person's shoes.
I broke Steve.
You said that right as I took a drink of water.
I'm sorry.
I almost spit it all over the equipment.
Spit take.
Sorry to derail the recap.
No,
sorry.
Man. It's we're all about laughter here.
I'm just
here.
So funny.
I'm just so funny.
You are, Madison.
While Kate's looting a dead person's shoes.
hey, he don't need them.
She found hiking shoes in her size.
Also, who wears hiking shoes on a flight?
She was like,
that
you know,
shit's hard to take off when you're going through security.
I was eyeing these anyway. Like, she went straight to them. Thank you for giving me a reason.
She said, oh, thank goodness.
It's like, oh no, someone died, but oh.
But then
look at them.
Scarface. He's got a big scar on his face. He looks on and he's got the orange peel smile. That is that a Godfather reference?
So bizarre.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
Yes.
Is it a spoiler?
We won't tell anyone. Don't worry.
That it's not a spoiler, but it's giving you guys a window into my mind for future episodes.
Okay.
That dude with the orange in his mouth. That is my favorite character of the show.
Oh my gosh. Of course it is.
Is this a Godfather reference?
I don't know.
Because at the end of The Godfather.
Like, I can't speak to what this is like leading to.
I don't know why. Yeah. I know this is, I've seen this meme of just this guy smiling with the orange peel and Lost fans geeking out about how much they love this moment. It never made any sense to me. I was like, what is going on that island? But at the end of The Godfather, Vito Corleone is chasing his grandkids around with, you know, a piece of an orange in his mouth.
Well, that's something I think like classic dad grandfather thing to do, right?
Like, it is. We're just in general. If you're a kid and you're like,
I was trying to just figure out, was he trying to be funny, like be lighthearted in this moment of tragedy? Or was he like, or is this like a bigger...
Like, what does this say about this man?
He knows something we don't. Yeah, he was just like, let me just orange peel smile.
Without being spoilery, I can tell you he is just very excited about that they're alive, basically. So his jubilation is for a reason.
Okay.
But I can't spoil what it is.
Well, my initial thought was, this guy's creepy as fuck.
Yeah. It's like, hey, just read the room, man.
Right. And Kate's like not having it. She's like,
I love
close
how
your
he,
mouth.
But he does do something that's kind of monstrous because he does the smile. I assume he wants to elicit a response. It creeps her out, so he does not get the response he wants. So he just kind of goes, eh, and then eats the orange with the peel on.
Ooh.
Ugh, isn't that gross?
It's very bitter.
Does anyone eat the orange peel?
No one does.
Jail.
You can use them for a lot of things though.
Jail if you do that.
Jail.
You can
bonk.
Orange peels are a good fabric softener. They have many
uses.
Really?
Yeah.
I know people do eat the peel, but I just can't.
No.
It's like when people it's when people eat the shell on a peanut or the shell of sunflower seeds. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's those people.
Those motherfuckers.
Those motherfuckers keep me up at night.
You can eat water. You can eat boiled watermelon rinds, I think.
They're boiled.
I think they boil them.
Boiled.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
But then Hurley comes out and he says, it looks grim in the fuselage. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I think so.
I, for one, had I been there, I'd have been like, where?
I do love how he says, like, it looks in there, grim in there because...
The body. The B-O-D-Y-S. I don't think a man who doesn't know how to spell bodies knows the word fuselage. Right?
Maybe it's written
like
somewhere.
They're throwing me all over the place with this guy's character.
That's a good point.
He's like, yeah, because all the B-O-D-Y. And then the kid is the one who corrects him. It's B-O-D-I-E-S,
yeah.
Which I think is funny.
Yeah. But he's completely unfazed by the fact that there's a bunch of dead bodies on the plane.
Actually, I think the kid's probably taking it better because he doesn't have the concept of life and death yet, you know, like fully grasped.
He's like, maybe. He just looks at Kate and he's like, why aren't we taking all their shoes?
Yeah.
It's true.
It's Christmas time on the beach.
Shannon still thinks somebody's coming for him.
Yeah, idiot.
They'll just clean the bodies out and then get a hair.
Yeah.
Charlie wants to come too. And I put, of course he does, because the only other character I know of his... He was eager to go on the journey as well.
In this moment, I was like, he's bad news. This little interaction right here, I was like, I have a weird feeling about you.
Mm.
And it's later confirmed in the, or at least I have suspicions as to why he wanted to go to the cockpit. And I think
he's a drug addict and he left them in the bathroom.
And that's why he was getting chased by the flight attendant. Yeah.
That's my theory.
I also think that as well.
That's my theory. Because she caught him in the potty. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably wanted to go with him because he knew of a shortcut to get to the cockpit, and that's Buckleberry Ferry.
Buckleberry Fairy. Buckleberry fucking fairy. Did you see that video?
No. What video is this?
It's Mary and Pippin, the actors. And Mary's explaining to Pippin that, hey, do you know it was in America, it's PG-13, which means we could have said fuck once and gotten away with it. And Pippin's like, oh, shit, really? And he's like, yeah. So I have a few ideas of where we could have put it. And one of his ideas is Buckleberry fucking fairy.
I do like that. I think I have seen a segment of that video because I do remember that.
That's super fun.
I think Pippin comes up with fool of a fucking took, which would have been great.
Good. That is good.
But then Kate, Jack, and Mary, or I'm sorry, Charlie. They're on their journey, a little fellowship, if you will. and Kate thinks she knows him because he plays bass in Driveshaft, and she's a big fan of Driveshaft.
Driveshaft.
You all, everybody. Clearly, he wasn't the singer in the band, or isn't the singer.
No.
And the fucking dog is watching them like in a horror movie. It's so weird.
It's just the dog is so non like menacing looking. Like it's just a good boy. So innocent.
It's just a good boy.
The goodest boy ever. Just like I don't. I'll let the people
figure their shit out on the beach before I get back in there. Yeah. I'm just gonna live my dog, my best dog life here in the jungle.
So okay, the dog. We don't know who the dog is, right? Or the dog.
It's Vincent.
Yeah.
The dog belongs to Charlie. Okay. Walter, and I guess Michael is his name. We'll find out later.
Yeah. Okay.
And then with Scarface, Orange Peel Man is sad. We cut to him briefly. He looks like he's like on the beach looking, or maybe he's just serene.
He's like looking into the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took it as he was serene and kind of enjoying. Yeah,
chilling. That was a good orange.
Man, what a good orange I just had a few hours ago. I wish I had more of them.
And then it starts pouring rain on the fellowship and everyone. And then the Korean couple, the husband's like, find your own fucking wing, because somebody tries to shelter under there with him.
Yeah.
But remember,
in his defense, that dude could not fit there. They had all the real estate there.
Go away.
Yeah.
And then the dinosaurs start knocking down more trees. Ooh. That's scary. And then luckily, the fellowship finds the cockpit, and it's a big old chunk. It's not just the cockpit. It's like
big old chunk.
Whole front half of the plane.
This plane was huge.
Massive plane. They must have been traveling far. It's like the plane we went on for the first time.
Well, I think it was they were traveling from Australia to.
Really?
LA, I think.
Aussie?
Aussie. Yeah.
I know they took off from Australia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's no Australians on this flight?
There are. You
couldn't get one of the Hemsworths.
Right?
Luke?
The pregnant woman's
Margot Australian. Margot Robbie wasn't available?
Toni Collette?
The Nicole pregnant Kidman? Woman's Australian.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Good eye. Nose cone.
Nose cone.
Wait, the cockpit's
I'm
really.
I'm
got a little bun in the oven.
They call me the. They call me the receiver.
Not the transceiver.
What are rugby positions?
I received.
That's out of my realm. I don't know.
But they said, let's get this transceiver thing.
What? Sigh in Australian.
Are you looking at?
I'm a loose head or maybe a tight head prop. Apparently that's a rugby position.
Loose head. They say, let's get this transceiver thing, right? The cockpit's locked, unfortunately, when they climb up there. So he hits it a bunch, gets it open. But then a fucking pilot flies out, jump scare. That was a good moment. I said, ha-ha. That's when we find out his name is Charlie, is in this moment. Because they're like, where's Charlie? Because they're all Australian now. We get the next. We get another pilot jump scare because this one's alive, and we find out
This one's breathing.
And Jack, of course, Jack of all trades that he is, he's already counted everybody and everything. He's like, "There's at least 48 survivors, and a dog somewhere. I can smell him." And then,
who the pilot is?
No,
it's Greg Grunberg. This dude is in literally every J.J. Abrams movie. Like, I guess he's just a friend of J.J.'s.
Is he in Super 8?
Yeah, he's in Super 8. He's in the Star Wars sequel trilogy. He's Snap Wexley.
Old Snap Wexley.
And just like in the Star Wars sequels, it does not end well for this pilot, because he's an X-Wing pilot in the Star Wars movies.
Mm. He's a pilot everywhere he goes.
Yay.
Yeah. And he tells them the story of the flight. And he's like, hey, it's not looking good, guys, because the radio went out. And then we just tried to turn back towards Fiji. And we were 1,000 miles off course when we hit the turbulence. So they have no idea where we're at. They're never going to find us. We need to find the transceiver. And then Jack's like, not a big deal, but I told him we needed the transceiver.
Yeah, I told him, hey, guys, look for a complicated walkie-talkie.
When the radio went out, you should have called me. I've built many plane radios. And I know exactly where the G-spot is, Kate. And she's like, I figured. That's why I came on this journey.
It's under the back sack.
There's a lot of nerves in there.
Oh, no.
I've seen them. And they's like, remember Charlie? And Jack's like, oh, I forgot about Charlie. And he was in the bathroom just like when the crash started. Then there's more dinosaur noises. The pilot, for some reason, is like, let me see it. Oi. And he gets snatched out.
Yeah, he's like going through the crashed open window and like, what's going on? And then gets fucking
ripped out,
snatched out and eaten. I thought he was eaten. Blood sprays out everywhere. It's actually weirder than being eaten. They run for it. Jack grabs the transceiver, which is great. Mm-hmm. Charlie trips and gets stuck. I don't know how. His foot gets all wrapped up in some roots. And they fucking leave him, which is great. But then Jack comes back for him. And then Kate does Kate's the alone. Fear count.
I wasn't a fan of this damsel in distress moment, but I was like, it's 2004. I need to be okay with it for this right now.
Well, she does the fear count.
She does.
Well,
there was a little like one of the things I'm not super thrilled about this episode is like they very quickly are like, oh, Jack's like, let me protect you. Like when the monster first shows up, he's like, come here and like hugs her. Like it's a little like you guys just met. And also, it's Evangeline Lilly. She can handle herself.
Kick ass. Yeah. But she screams his name.
She made drapes her Jack, first try of Jack. Sewing.
Jack. I want to see those drapes. I want to see them.
You heard it.
Do not go there.
I didn't.
There was a twinkle in your eye.
I saw it spark. Diffuse that shit real quick.
Is that what that's like when you guys have a filter and shit? Because I experienced that for the first time just now.
Ever.
My filter was visible though.
You know what, man?
It was.
I'm proud of you.
Good job.
Thank
you. You're growing.
And then I actually, even though I hated like the whole monologue that Jack Shepherd does to tell about the fear count, I liked that it was brought back and like this moment with Kate. Again, a little melodramatic maybe, but it was kind of neat in that moment.
Help me.
And then Charlie runs into Kate as soon as she like bursts from her bamboo and he's like, I lost Jack. He saved me. And he dipped out, man. We should probably go. And then the rain stops. And she's like, did you see it? And he's like, no, but there's a gargantuan quality about this thing. And then they go back for Jack. She finds
I'm Charlie, by the way. I love that.
Yeah.
I heard you screaming for Jack. I'm Charlie.
Like, I'm Charlie.
You probably didn't call out my name because you didn't know it. I'm Charlie.
I'm Charlie.
I just want to make sure you know.
And then she finds pilot wings in a puddle.
I loved this scene.
They look up and they see the pilot above them. But first she sees it in like the tree puddle reflection. And
how does something like that happen?
How does it happen?
I was confused too, because if we're dealing with some sort of, this is some sort of malevolent creature then, because it didn't eat. It wasn't for food that
Did
they took the pilot.
Did this defeat your dinosaur theory? Short arms?
No, it must be, it could be.
It could be a velociraptor. It could be an Indominus Rex. Those things kill for pleasure.
That's true. But yes, the pilot was not eaten. He was just savaged and thrown aside, right? And then, we see Jack. Jack's back.
Jack's
I'm fine.
Back.
I dove into a bush. And while I was in there, I found some food. Because these berries I know are edible. And whatever. And then.
He brought out food?
No.
Oh.
I made all that up.
No, Jack's just.
He's
Jack
just a handy
trades,
guy.
Yeah.
Very handy.
A handy guy.
Also, I repaired the transceiver because I used to be an engineer, but I got bored with it.
I want to know this man's faults. I want to know his weaknesses.
But I couldn't reach anybody. In English. Luckily, I speak six languages. And then we finally get the title, Lost. And it goes, Lost. Where is everybody? And that's it. Steve, it's time for that's Beach Please. End.
Well, that brings us to our trivia segment, Beach Please. You guys ready for some trivia?
Trivia, yes.
Oh, I like that little Star Wars Cantina music.
Nice.
Did you know, this is my favorite part of trivia for maybe the entire show, but did you know in the original pilot for Lost, everything happens the exact same way except for the very end. Jack is meant to die in the pilot. The original concept for the pilot was Damon Lindelof thought it would be really, really interesting to create a TV show where they endear you to this main character and then they kill him off in the first episode. So now you're like, oh shit, no one's safe. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Took a page out of George Martin's book.
Yeah.
I was thinking Scream, where it's like they introduced
Drew Barrymore, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so originally the pilot gets sucked out of the plane. They all go running. Jack goes missing, and they're like, where's Jack? And the body they find in the trees is Jack's body.
Wow.
This kind of led to the fact that when they were originally trying to make this pilot made, they originally were trying to cast Michael Keaton in the role of Jack because there was going to be like a special guest star.
Yeah.
They knew they didn't have to pay him that long, but they could kind of sell the show on Michael Keaton coming in.
Sure.
And that would actually be more shocking when your beloved Michael Keaton, if you're a fan of his, right, when he dies, of all people. Wild.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
Huh.
The plane wreck itself cost $250,000 to ship to Hawaii because the show is filmed in Hawaii. So just getting it there cost them that much money. And in fact, before they shipped it to Hawaii, obviously it's got to like sit like at an airport. And I guess it was sitting kind of out in the open in a way. And the airport had to make announcements that like that's not a real wreck.
Yeah, you're gonna be fine.
I'm surprised they flew it out and not transported it on
by boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing.
It's like a 5-hour flight from LA to Hawaii.
LA.
I think, as I recall. So that would be a long boat ride, is what
my producer brain is just like, how to create less panic as much as possible. Mm. I feel like having it out in the open at an airport would create some sense of panic.
For sure.
Mm, absolutely. Can you guys guess who was the first actor cast for Lost? Like officially cast, like they got their role. They were the first one.
I'm going to say Dominic Monaghan.
Okay. Chris, what's your guess?
The first actor to get a part?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be one of the quote unquote leads. That's what they're going to focus on first, right? Evangeline Lilly.
You were both wrong. It's Jorge Garcia. Hurley.
Oh.
He was the first one to get his offer. The plane where they shot the flashback where they're just sitting on the plane is the same exact plane set used in the 2004 film Soul Plane.
Nice.
I thought that was nice. Funny.
Let's see. What's another? So production, we kind of talked about the budget for the show. Why does it seem like such a big movie? The 2-hour pilot, so part one and next week's part two, had a budget of $12 million, which is
that's
a ton of money, especially in 2004 money.
For television.
And it was so much money that the guy who greenlit the costs and show, the Lloyd Braun, I think's his name, got fired. Even though this show eventually became the biggest hit ABC had ever had in years.
Oh my gosh.
But because he greenlit this incredibly expensive show, he got shit canned.
By
I owed him an apology.
By Bad Robot or like
ABC.
Yeah. ABC execs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see.
I think Disney owned ABC at the time. So it's probably like the Mickey Mouse came in.
Oh boy, where's my money, Lloyd? I'll shit can you so fast. You set Goofy's Goofy Eyes straight.
Oh, you?
Mike, my bitch.
Mike, my bitch.
That's a good Goofy. That sound.
That is good.
Let's see. Our final bit of Beach Please trivia is that this episode won 4 Emmy Awards for Outstanding Single Camera Picture Editing for a Drama Series, Outstanding Music Composition for a Series, Outstanding Special Visual Effects for a Series, and Outstanding Directing for a Drama Series.
That's that Ciacchino score.
4 Emmys, 1 episode. We're just at the beginning of this, guys.
Dang.
I'm excited.
We are strapped in, unlike those 4 people on the flight. That brings us to our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, start us off with your number three.
My number three, first of all, I feel like there are a lot of fun, quirky, like comedic relief moments. And I usually place those at my number three anyway. So it was very hard because I felt like this episode had a lot of those quirky comedic moments. But the Pens comment with Ian Somerhalder, so funny. I loved that. I can't tell which shtick I like more of. If it's like him sending him out to get the pens or if it's the final delivery, he's like, I got the pens. And there's six of them. Like, he was able to do it. But that's my number three.
Steve, your number three.
My number three favorite moment is a moment that I think you guys didn't seem to like. But to me, it's such an iconic moment from the show. And I love it so much because I love this character.
Is it the spaghetti nerves?
No, it's the orange smile from our good friend John Locke.
I feel like you have more context to enjoy that moment.
I do have more context. It's definitely a moment that maybe when the first time I watched the show, I watched Lost for the first time in 2005. So the first time I saw the show, I don't know, maybe I appreciated this moment when it happened, but I definitely picked up on like, oh, that's a weird thing. Like it sticks out in a show where a plane crashes and there's a dog and there's dinosaur things and there's butt sacks or back sacks.
Whoa. Stay tuned, everybody.
I was like, hell yeah.
Butt sacks coming next week.
This show is going to get awesome.
Episode 2 of Lost, butt sacks.
Why did you say butt sacks?
I'm dyslexic. But in a show where all this weird stuff happens, one of the most memorable weird shots is a guy smiling with an orange peel for teeth. And that is why and it's gone on. And now that I have more context of the show, it's one of my favorite, most iconic shots of the show. So that's me, baby.
Me,
Chris.
Baby. My number three is the pens as well.
Nice.
Ian Somerhalder's pen gag, specifically when he brings them, I think, is this is the one to call out just because it's like I had forgotten about it. It's funny.
Yeah.
And Madison, what is your number two?
My number two Mile High Club moment is the moment where Kate looks down, finds the wing emblem in the dirt. Mm. And it was just a really cool shot of like kind of a rack focus of her looking at the emblem to going to the reflection, then the reflection showing the body in the tree. I don't know. It's just I enjoy a good rack focus and I really liked that scene. It was really cool.
Well done as well. Steve, your number two.
My number two is when Charlie, Jack, and Kate begin their adventure, and Kate recognizes Charlie.
We all, everybody.
I love the fact that Charlie is this member of a band called Driveshaft, and they're somewhat, supposedly, they're fairly famous. They're fairly popular. They're popular enough for Kate
Jack
to
know
who it is. And I love how Kate's kind of like, you're in Drive Shaft. No shit. That's awesome. And then Jack, I love that Jack walks up like, hey, what's the hold up? I was way ahead of you guys. I sprinted back. What are you guys talking about? And Kate's like, do you know that Charlie's in Drive Shaft? He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Let's go.
We're losing daylight here.
Like, they're pretty famous. We're famous. We are famous. We're on tour. We're going on tour.
He said, it's the comeback.
Not anymore.
It's a comeback. Like, I just love how kind of like offended he gets.
Right.
Like, we're Drive Shaft. But yeah, that's my number two.
My number two is the second fear countdown with Kate, with Evangeline Lilly. Nice. Because again, the introduction of that premise, I was not digging, but it came back in a satisfying way. And I appreciated that it had ever happened at all, finally.
I'm wondering if that will come back again.
I kind of hope not. We can't just keep getting a fear countdown.
I kind of hope not.
We can't just keep getting fear countdowns. That sounded
like an optimistic. I hope so.
There's going to be so many people counting to five in the show.
All right, guys, I'm teaching you all my technique. No, I want none of that.
Okay.
Dog's like, row, 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 when he gets scared.
Get two more. Yeah, two more rows.
You thought I was going to do the whole bit?
Well, yeah, you have to let the fear in for five rows.
Row.
There we go. Now you can be the goodest boy.
Madison, what is your number one favorite moment of the episode?
My number one favorite moment is the opening sequence where Jack is running through all of the mayhem is happening with the plane. I think if you're going to start a season and really capture people's attention, this is the way to do it. I really
you're definitely watching episode two after this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I really liked too is kind of how they made Jack almost an audience member as well. Like we're coming into what is going on through Jack's eyes, and I really liked that. But yeah, it was. I felt like a lot of characterizations in the opening sequence as well with the characters that we will get to know. But I think a lot of how we get to know those characters, if we watch back this opening sequence, may have some important symbols or how they filmed them. You know what I mean? Like I really enjoyed the opening sequence.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I just remembered a flashback because I made a video about all the most famous shows of all time I had never seen. And a prominent one was Lost. And so many people said, fuck Lost. It'll waste your time because the ending made me so sad. Mm. A lot of people said that because a lot of people say that about the ending of the show. But every single person said, at least watch the pilot, which just now hit me that I remember that everybody said that. And I assume they mean both parts, right? But maybe they just meant this. But I mean, this is like a legendarily good pilot.
I think
pilot.
They probably mean both parts.
There are very few opening sequences that I remember. This one is definitely going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can imagine for the time when this came out on broadcast television, how impactful this opening sequence was for
everybody. This is basic cable too, right?
Yeah, this is basic cable. Like the golden age of TV was just kind of starting, but to get that stuff, you had to go to like HBO or some sort of
the one to watch
premium, but you didn't get this on like ABC.
Or, again, you don't know about this, but Showtime was one of those.
Right. The Showtime I'm not subscribed to. Can I ask, what was the PR behind this show? Because was this primetime TV or was it pushed mm-hmm. up through the years? Oh, so it was advertised as primetime television.
Yeah, this was advertised as like a big deal when it came out.
Was this like competing with Survivor?
Survivor was on at the time. I can't remember. CBS. So I was so far removed from Survivor, but
is this like Big Brother level?
Real world
versus Road Rules level. Sorry, Vincent came out of me again.
He got a little scared. Vincent got a little scared. Yeah, it was a big deal because I remember a lot of people, because this is still back in the day where people, you only consume this stuff one episode at a time.
Oh, this would have been water cooler.
Oh, fodder. Yeah. Literally, you would go to work the next day and people would be like, oh my God, did you see what happened on Lost?
Yeah, imagine if Twitter existed.
Well, didn't Lost invent like online theorizing fandom rabidness? Like that was, Lost was the beginning of that, right? Or was that Buffy?
Maybe. I don't know if that was the beginning of it, but it definitely was a thing. Like, I remember at the time while watching Lost, because you know how like Jack takes off his shirt to sew.
Fuck yeah, I do.
If you notice, he's got tattoos all over him.
He does.
I remember like throughout the course of the show, there were people who were just mad speculating like what those tattoos mean. Like that was a big deal, was just the speculation just behind his tattoos. And that's not even really a mystery. Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's not even like what's the dinosaur eating the pilot. It's just like why this guy has like I just remember the speculation was rampant that much. Like the smallest little kernel of intrigue that the show dropped, people just I need to discuss it.
I'm probably going to love the end of the show.
I don't think it's nearly as bad as
what I think. Here's my theory about what the theories are. I bet what happened is what happens all the time now that I've witnessed as part of like being, you know, in the discussion at the forefront of some of these where people are like, they go way off the deep end and then they feel like they've been let down and it's their own fault for doing stuff like what do his tattoos mean? Right.
Yeah.
And so they feel like they didn't get delivered the promise of a premise that was never a premise and they kind of ruined the show for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that this show seems kind of rife with that kind of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. That could happen.
Now this is a TV show. There are six seasons. The earlier seasons have like 25 episodes a season. I think season.
And didn't the writer's strike affect one of these?
Well, season four, I think, is the writer's strike season, but it's actually like maybe the best season because it was a much more concentrated story. They didn't have, it's a shorter season. It's like 10 episodes. So they don't have like all this like filler. They're just like, okay, plot. We're doing the plot. So the writer's strike season is actually like one of the best seasons of the show. But like any other show, there are some storylines that don't go anywhere. There are ups, there are downs. There are actors and actresses who get fired unceremoniously. Sure. So some of those stories don't resolve at all or very well. Calling back to the article that we touched on in the beginning of the episode, there are certain characters that their ending of the show isn't good and kind of like, oh, they're doing my boy dirty.
Yeah.
And so it's not a perfect ending, but I think the core story of what they were going for, I still think they handle pretty well. And because a lot of people are like, oh, it's dog shit. It's really not.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of what you spoke about.
Well, what was your number two favorite moment?
We're on number one, my friend.
Or number one, sorry.
And I think we're going to have all three of us say the same thing. Maybe it's the opening wreckage scene. Oh, Chris shaking his head. Oh,
I should have picked that, but I didn't.
Oh, I'm interested to see what you picked.
So, okay, what's going to be our like? So we had buzz, buzz, buzz for you.
We all everybody.
We all everybody.
We all everybody.
Okay, there you go. I love it.
Wait, did we just harmonize?
Yes,
I think we did.
Wow,
that was amazing sounding.
We didn't practice that at all.
I chose when the pilot gets eaten / not eaten.
Really?
Kind of your number two with the pilot puddle thing.
Sure.
But kind of more the part where he gets sucked out of the cockpit, because that whole sequence, like that 2 minutes where like we get the pilot jump scare that falls out of the tilted plane towards Charlie. Like it was ramping up. It was a level of horror. I don't know why. Why did I go Donald horror. Trump there? It was
horror.
It was a level of horror. It was tremendous.
Oh, I thought it was more like Barb and Star going to be some horror.
There we go. That's more wholesome. That's more wholesome. I just, you know, especially with like the blood squirt on the window of the cockpit, like I was just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know in interviews, JJ specifically was like, I don't want the wreckage scene to be gory. I want it to be like almost bloodless so that the few moments of gore, so like Jack's cut, and then when the pilot gets the blood splattered on the window, he wanted those moments to like really hit. Yeah. So they made the conscious decision to not make the wreckage scene super bloody.
Like when the guy gets
sucked into
the engine, it wasn't like a spray out the back.
Yeah. It was just a spray of explosion out the back instead. That guy was also made of pure gasoline.
Yes.
Just like the plane wing.
That's why they had it explode, so it would be bloodless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's my favorite moment. But I mean, of course, the opening's incredible, which brings us to our Passenger Princess Award, the best performance or favorite of the episode. Madison, who did you choose?
I think my favorite, it's written there, but Jack, who is played Matthew Fox. I mean, he carried the whole episode starting from the top to the bottom. So, and I like his character. He doesn't seem super relatable because he's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think he did a really good job in this episode.
My favorite character. I'm surprised you didn't pick this one, Madison. My Passenger Princess Award goes to Evangeline Lilly.
Mm.
So you're right. Matthew Fox does carry this episode, but I think he has some odd acting choices, deliveries at very crucial points that kind of take me out of the point. And part of that's on the writing, like the soliloquy. Part of that's that. But he does a couple weird like little tics and deliveries that I think kind of undercut what he's trying to do. Whereas Evangeline Lilly, even the smallest amount of stuff she's given, she really accentuates it. I sewed drapes like that. I did it on a sewing machine. Just like her exasperation was really sold, and the look on her face when she like says like that guy was sitting next to me on the plane. I think she really highly, and then the light moment with her and Charlie and being a drive shaft. I think she really nails everything that she's asked, despite not necessarily being the anchor of the episode.
Sure.
Chris?
I'm choosing, but I'm cheating here, but it's Dominic Monaghan for me.
Ooh. The trio.
I just think my love of him as Meriadoc is probably contextualizing his performance differently. Sure. But he brought a level of levity. I almost chose Hurley already. If I'd have known the guy's, you know, the character's name before you gave it to me and they gave him a little bit more to do, I know for sure he's going to be passenger princessing quite a lot.
Yes, he is.
In the future, I'm sure.
Yes, he is.
But I just love Charlie's kid. There's some mystery there, not to spoil our next and final segment, but to his character. There's more there, but also he was funny. I love that fucking guy. I love his face. And he's bringing me an anchor. Other than Saeed, I don't have much like star power anchoring me to this show. So I'm latching on to his beautiful face, right?
You're not latching on to Ian Somerhalder?
No, I never. Eyes? I didn't like Vampire Diaries.
You're not latching on
what's
to...
What's the spinoff? Eternals or Immortals or Originals.
There you go.
I think.
I was going to say, I haven't watched Vampire Diaries.
My wife loves it. She's trying to explain it to me. She's like, so some of the vampires are the ones that made all the other vampires. They're more powerful. They're the originals.
interesting.
But anyway. So I'm giving it to Dom.
Good choice.
Family.
Good
choice. And our final segment.
Family.
Lost and found.
Lost and found.
I think there's two mysteries, right? The dinosaurs, the creatures.
So what are the monsters in the forest?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And what are the other one?
I think Mary. What's going on with Mary? What's going on with Charlie?
What's going on with Charlie?
That's a mystery, right? I think it's drugs. I think we all kind of are leaning that way.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's something. He had a stash in the bathroom.
I mean, I also had written Orange Mouth Man.
That character's a mystery. Sure.
What's going on with him?
What the fuck's going on with that guy?
And then,
again, to remind everyone, the point of Lost and Found is we're going to find mysteries, mm-hmm. we're going to write them down, and we're going to keep a ledger of them, and we'll review them every episode to see if they're answered or if they added new ones.
Any more mysteries?
What is Vincent doing?
What is that dog up to?
Sure.
Is he plotting?
That's a mystery.
Are the noises in fact Vincent, like Walt claims?
Hmm. Who's the father of the baby, the pregnant woman?
Oh, who is the father of the baby? Who was the
quarterback, you could say, Steve. I don't think that's a mystery. I just wanted to deliver that joke.
I'm going to write down who is the quarterback see if we remember what that is next week.
Oh, you don't think it's a mystery?
No, who cares? It's not my business.
Hey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Awful suspicious that you're pregnant, ma'am, on a plane. By the way, I do want to say, I don't think you're allowed to fly at 8 months pregnant. Boom.
I've never been pregnant, so I don't know.
It's highly advised against by doctors. Back me up, Casey.
I have no insight into that at all.
Mm. I would only add one more thing to this list of mysteries, and that is precisely what exactly happened to the plane?
That's a good one.
Where, like, what happened to the plane?
Why did the radio go out? Sure.
Why did the tail rip off? Why did the cockpit rip off? Like, happened to it?
Laura Lee situation, perhaps? Suspicious plane exploding?
It was the wilderness. Like, you ain't getting out of here.
Mm-mm.
Well, they said the radio went out. So somebody was
the wilderness? Someone from Brooklyn.
You ain't getting out of here.
Hey, you think you're getting out of here? No, you're stuck.
No, you're not. Stuck.
You're stuck in here with us. All right.
Sit over there. Get your nails done.
We're going to make gnocchi. All right. Come on.
It's an Italian dish.
Hey.
The only one Steve could think of at the time.
Gnocchi.
Not a big deal.
I had some gnocchi like 2 days ago.
I love gnocchi. Vodka sauce and gnocchi with some Italian sausage. Oh, my God. My mother.
My mother.
The way she used to make that sauce. God rest his soul.
So that was the first episode of Lost. It sounds like you guys enjoyed it.
I'm in. Yeah, baby. It's good.
Thank you to all who chose Lost and everyone else who just acquiesced. don't forget,
for the ride. We
are going to be covering other stuff all week and much more stuff down the road. But if you want season one of Lost to be a success, share the show, tell all your friends about it, whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got back into my Brooklyn accent because I think sometimes you got to use force.
and you are walking here.
Yeah, I'm walking here.
And if you have any theories of your own, maybe we missed some Lost and found mysteries, write them in. Write in at streamingthingspod@gmail.com to interact with the show. You can find us on Twitter at streamthingpod. Mm. You can follow us on Instagram, which is streamingthingspodofficial.
But just be wary of spoilers when emailing.
Yes.
Because I check the email as well.
Yes. Or if you are sending in a spoiler, like in the subject, like only Steve's eyes only. And please, it better be spoilers for Lost and not like photos of something. You can also become a patron at patreon.com/streamingthings and get access to our Discord where we have a Lost specific channel where you can interact with everybody. And then also, speaking of Discord, I do want to announce that next week, next Friday, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but a week and a day from when you hear this on Thursday, will be the return of Steve's fireside chats on the Discord.
Come on.
It's been a while since we've been able to do that, since we went to LA and had our vacation, but that's returning next Friday.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Row.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.